You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Parrott. Coming up, find out how private equity funds have taken over American newspapers, what that means for our local communities and for democracy. First, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a story about a Madison business owner as part of a series we're airing this month on women in southern Wisconsin in partnership with Midwest Mujeres.
Angela Morgan of Madison was feeling uninspired in her job a few years back. It was too rigid.
I actually was used to working in customer service. So I was always in an office, always on a phone, always behind a desk. And I was like, this does not fit my life. This does not fit my personality. And I miss my kids, you know?
Morgan says she decided to take a huge risk. She started her own business, Food Junkies Catering. Morgan considers herself an eclectic chef. She'll make anything for her customers. Beef, fish, vegan dishes. But Morgan's favorite meal to cater?
Tacos.
Who doesn't love a taco?
Exactly.
They make everyone so happy.
And they come in so many different variations, right? Mm-hmm. Like, actually, that was the first thing that I started selling was jerk chicken tacos. And then I noticed, like, you're making, like, $400 a day. So it's a staple in my business, the jerk chicken tacos and a jerk chicken salad. So those are the two things that people are, like, running me down in the street about.
I talked with Morgan about this as part of a storytelling partnership with Midwest Mujeres in Madison. After making me very hungry for tacos, Morgan told me more about what drives her in her work and in her personal life.
My motto for life, people and things will come and go. Always stay true to you. I started this business to generate extra income, be creative, and to spend more time with my children. Plot twist, I didn't see much of them for the first 2 years.
But now, business is consistent for Morgan, and she sees her daughters more often.
I have two daughters named Cameron and Zora. My daughters are my rocks and my headaches. I absolutely love them.
Morgan says they appreciate what she does and help her out with catering.
Being a mother and a business owner has taught me balance. As they grow, I am showing them and teaching them what it means to sacrifice, to work hard, to watch your money, and to have fun. My ultimate dream for them is to use my work ethic to follow their own dreams, because this one's mine.
She says Food Junkie's success has had a positive impact on her family.
They're so proud of me. That's been the biggest thing. We've had a challenging life, you know, being a single parent, having to move around, you know, not really having the support that we needed. And so for them to look at me now like that, like a local celebrity, is like, oh, mom's that girl.
And now the mother and daughters are working on another project together, a family and friends cookbook.
Well, my daughter just turned 21, and she's always talking to me about her generation and how they don't really have what our generation had, right? They're not standing in the kitchen with us watching grandma cook, so they're like, can you put us together a cookbook or something, like something that's really simple that we can make good meals? They're young parents. They want to feed their kids good food.
And Morgan will keep feeding her customers. She dreams of expanding Food Junkies Catering, adding barbecue, or one day owning a food truck.
I see nothing but great things in the future for myself and for my children. Just making sure I'm sticking to my guns, that my mindset is always where it needs to be, and that I have enough courage to execute what I know. So I'm good.
Angela Morgan shared her story with us as part of a partnership with Midwest Mujeres in Madison. We've partnered with the organization to share stories of women who live in southern Wisconsin. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Want to make sure you catch every Wisconsin Life story? Subscribe to our podcast and find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
This is Central Time. The newspaper business in the U.S. is in the midst of a crisis. According to Northwestern University's Local News Initiative and its State of Local News 2023 report, the U.S. has lost more than 2,900 newspapers since 2005. and many surviving newspapers have had a steady run of layoffs and service cuts. Why? One common theory, the internet took away advertising and classified revenue. Our next guest says that's part of the puzzle, but in a new book, she says there's a bigger story we're missing, the takeover of media outlets by hedge funds and private equity firms. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about ownership of newspapers? Do you still read a local or national paper in print or online? Have you noticed the coverage change for better or worse over time? Have you lost your local paper? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Margot Suska is Assistant Professor of Journalism, Accountability, and Democracy in the School of Communication at American University in Washington, D.C. Her new book is called Hedged: How Private Investment Funds Help Destroy American Newspapers and Undermine Democracy. Margot, welcome back to Central Time.
Well, thanks for having me, Rob.
Margo, people might be able to name, you know, their local newspaper, lots of other papers, maybe even some of the chains that operate them. You trace another layer in the corporate pyramid there. How much have these hedge funds and private equity companies bought into newspapers?
Well, their influence over the last 20 years has been substantial, even though they may not be operating as owners. They have been operating as lenders. They've put pressure on newspaper managers at publicly traded chains like Gannett, which of course owns the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So the influence of these private equity firms and hedge funds over the last 20 years has been both substantial as well as devastating in the U.S. newspaper market. And I tried with this book to look at not just the chains, but to look at these, you know, these private firms, these Wall Street firms that were kind of calling the shots, to really trace even before the internet and before the 2008 Great Recession, to try to determine how much influence they had over the destruction of the U.S. newspaper market.
And you trace the history of newspapers in the United States, and you point out that some sort of commercial interest has been there all along. The form has changed over that time, though. But there's something you say in this modern, the private equity companies investing in newspapers, that's been particularly damaging. Why is that?
Well, I think that, and I mentioned in the book that, you know, going back to the colonial period of U.S. newspapers, when Benjamin Franklin owned a newspaper in Philadelphia, profit has long been a part of U.S. newspapers, and it's gone hand in hand. People may know the names Pulitzer and Hearst. You know, these were men who got very wealthy off of their newspaper ownership in the late 19th and 20th century. But there's something much different about having these private Wall Street firms so heavily invested in the newspaper market. And I think that that is the very nature of their business, which is profit for the sake of profit. And they care very little about the mission of a news organization operating in a community, whether or not that's Milwaukee, whether or not that's a small county, you know, Beaver County, Pennsylvania, or whether or not that's, you know, a rural community in Idaho. Their mission is profit. Their mission is not community news and information. And it's certainly not investigative, accountability-driven work that is very expensive, that takes trained reporting staff. And, you know, in Boise, Idaho, after a hedge fund bought the McClatchy chain, they refused to even pay for Microsoft Excel to be put on an investigative journalist's computer there. I mean, that's, you know, that'll cost you about $100. And this is a firm that traffics in hundreds of millions of dollars. So I think the difference between the profit of, you know, the historically profit in the U.S. newspaper market in these last 20 years is that there is no sense of mission. There is no sense of the role that a newspaper plays in a community. And they are just trying to liquidate and extract as much as they can. And the results, you know, they're having, the consequences are very destructive.
Talking to Margot Suska about her new book, Hedged: How Private Investment Funds Help Destroy American Newspapers and Undermine Democracy. And Margot, you point out that this came along in a vulnerable time. I mentioned the whole internet taking away some ad revenue for newspapers, which was real. You, I think, are making the argument in the book that newspapers largely could have weathered that storm if they had invested, if they'd kept up with the times. And then this cost-cutting, profit-taking mentality, you say, from hedge funds and others, stopped that from happening. Spell out a little bit about how those two things collided.
Yeah, I think that it's become almost conventional wisdom that the loss of advertising revenue is what felled U.S. newspaper chains. And I was really interested when I started doing research for the book in early 2018 to really look at the executive decision-making that was going on at that time. What was happening in the early 2000s and in the mid-2000s as the internet was becoming more important, both for readers as well as for advertising. And when we talk about advertising, we're talking about sites like Craigslist, Monster.com, that instead of paying for an ad if you wanted to sell your car, you were going to put it on Craigslist. But this idea that, the internet felled newspapers, Craigslist was not a very sophisticated site. Newspapers with some investment could have competed with Craigslist. Newspapers essentially had a monopoly on advertising, but there was no innovation. So these newspaper chains, many of which were beholden to private equity investors, they made the decision rather than to innovate in the 2000s. They made the decision to choose mergers and acquisitions as a strategy to handle, the digital transition, which was, they thought, bigger would be better. And of course, what happened is you saw massive debt got piled on as the 2008 recession came on, as the loss of advertising became more acute. And then what happened were newsroom layoffs, reporters were cut, and the very product that they were promising readers, which was a local newspaper, was cut to the bone. So what happened was audiences turned away from the local newspaper because they started charging more for a product that offered less. So I kind of traced this cycle of, the decision-making to merge and acquire, the debt, the layoffs, and how audiences said we just stopped seeing any real value in a newspaper that just kept getting more expensive. And it's a really unfortunate reality, all of which can be traced back at many of the chains that I studied to private equity investors.
We're talking to Margot Suska about her new book. It's called Hedged: How Private Investment Funds Helped Destroy American Newspapers and Undermine Democracy. And we'll get to that part of the story in just a bit. You could join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for our guest? Have you lost a newspaper, or has a newspaper in your community been cut way, way back? Have you worked in a local newsroom through all of this? How has your work been impacted? Did you see that buyout by a company that, as far as you knew, didn't have anything to do with journalism or the media? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Margot Suska, Assistant Professor of Journalism, Accountability, and Democracy in the School of Communication at American University. Her new book is called Hedged: How Private Investment Funds Help Destroy American Newspapers and Undermine Democracy. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Okay, Margot, so we've got hedge funds and other private equity groups buying interests in or control of newspapers, layoffs, massive service cuts. Let's get to the next part. I think the part that worries you the most, actually, the effect of this on American democracy and communities. What impact do these changes have?
Well, there have been other researchers who have studied what the loss of local news means, and that means an increase in political polarization, an increase in voter apathy, and a disengagement from the political processes in those communities. Research that I've just started doing is looking at where people are going in the void left behind. And I talk a little bit about this in the book, but I've gotten more interested in this. And I was just talking to someone in Miami about the loss of the cuts to El Nuevo Herald, which is the Spanish newspaper kind of the sister paper to the Miami Herald, and they're both owned by a hedge fund. And based on those cuts, this person I was talking to said the Spanish-speaking audiences are turning away from El Nuevo Herald, and they're finding AM radio as the alternative and WhatsApp as the alternative. And those are both rife with misinformation and disinformation. And in an election year, you know, that loss of, you know, of verified, accurate information provided by trained reporters and moving into a space with, you know, a real cesspool of information is going to have real consequences, not just in Miami, but everywhere that you're seeing a loss of local journalism. And I think that's, you know, really where I get concerned is who is filling the void left by local newspapers, and where are people going to get their information? Certainly they're turning to social media sites, you know, Facebook pages, WhatsApp. Out in California, Chevron, the oil company, now owns and operates and runs and has for a decade its own website that's made to look like a local newspaper website. You know, that is a really troubling consequence, I think, of the loss of local news. Who gets to control the narrative? Who gets to set the agenda? And, you know, what are citizens expected to understand about the community they live? You know, think of climate change, think of voter information that you need to have access to. These are all really, really, you know, troubling issues that the loss of local news has, you know, kind of reared its head. For me, the other issue that I give some attention to in the book is that these private equity firms and hedge funds also have an interest in many other sectors of the economy, for-profit hospitals, for-profit nursing homes. They're going to start to get into the childcare industry. So I'm also worried about the loss of local journalism holding these types of companies, not to mention government officials who take money from them, accountable. You know, who will be a voice for regular citizens on the ground when these billionaire firms, you know, have just not only have they gotten their hands into so many other sectors of the economy, but they now have such a, you know, a deep control over the U.S. newspaper market.
Let's bring on a caller. John is with us in Arcadia. John, hi.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us about, John?
I used to deliver the newspapers. I had a motor route out in the rural area in Wisconsin and Minnesota from Winona up to Wabasha on the Minnesota side, and then from Nelson, Wisconsin to Fountain City on the Wisconsin side. I had 135 customers. And the paper at that time, it was 2015. I believe it was 50 cents a copy. And by the time 2019 rolled around, the newspaper was selling for $2.50 a copy. And I lost everything but 55 customers, and all I was making was enough money to put in the gas tank. I wasn't making, I only got a quarter of paper.
John, thanks for the call. Not a lot of time left. I believe I know the paper John's talking about, and there was a buyout involved in there. Margot, John providing one small example of what's happening at a lot of, especially mid-sized, small to mid-sized city papers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's in, you mentioned the State of Local News report that came out of Northwestern University. In that report, they mentioned that Wisconsin is one of the three states that's lost the most newspapers per capita compared to the current number of residents in the state. So, you know, Wisconsin is really going through, you know, has gone through a loss. And, you know, you also, when you have a company like Gannett, which is beholden to a number of private equity institutional investors and debt to others, you know, that raises some real issues, you know, with the, you know, how many reporters you have who are doing, you know, doing crucial work at the local, regional, and state level.
John, thanks for the call. Margo, in just our last minute or so, point us toward a way out.
Well, I mean, I would say to your, you know, if anyone is listening, that they should continue to support Wisconsin Public Radio and also nonprofit sites like Wisconsin Watch. I think that many of us are putting a lot of hope in the rising nonprofit news ecosystem that tries to remove these vulture hedge funds and private equity firms from the news ecosystem. But it's going to take a real effort from citizens to get active and understand that it's going to require their financial support.
And briefly, is there any, are there any regulatory changes that could straighten things out as you see it?
Well, I think that there could be antitrust reform. I think that the Federal Communications Commission also needs to get back involved in putting more limitations on ownership. But all of those rules have effectively been rolled back over the course of the last 20 years. So, yes, I think that that's part of my concern, is that at every turn, these firms have been allowed to grow more powerful, and you have federal regulatory, legislative, and judicial system that's just looked the other way.
Margo, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That's Margo Suska, Assistant Professor of Journalism, Accountability, and Democracy at the School of Communication at American University. Her new book is called Hedged: How Private Investment Funds Help to Destroy American Newspapers and Undermine Democracy.